Welcome to episode 153 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong, and look, we are back at full strength tonight because returning as co-host after a week away is Runs BB coach and part-time model, Zach Newman. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. You slipped that one in. It is great to be back, but you did an awesome job with Laura. That was a fantastic show, mate, and I had Catherine on. I really enjoyed listening to that. I think I caught a bit of that on the way to the airport.
Oh, there you go, mate. Just a bit of easy listening.
I didn't think I'd have a job coming back.
Well, given it, you're the boss and it's your podcast, that's completely your say. But thoughts on the world record chat from last week, mate?
Yeah. You did warn me that things got a little bit out of hand, and
I did.
You were right about that. I think I'm glad you kept that off the off the initial plan you had in place. But I enjoyed it. I'm sure a lot of listeners and a lot of people running along were sort of thinking what they would challenge themselves with, and I like the way you all had a crack at that one, so it's good.
Yeah,
fun.
No, you can't. Mr. Potato Head sales have just gone absolutely skyrocketing this week, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see some of the attempts come through.
Another influencing gig for you, Chris.
Yeah, well, we'll just add it to the list that will bring it to a total of one.
I caught up on the results. So obviously I was away. I was in Vietnam. I had a 5-day golfing trip. Golfing relaxation, couple of runs, nothing to break Strava with. I did have a watch, but I wasn't even using it. I was on the treadmill for a couple, then went out and ran outside, but it's not a great place to run. And I probably just was enjoying bit of downtime and just letting everything sort of realign and recorrect itself after with that calf. But it's backfiring now. So
the golf was good while you're away?
Oh, it got progressively worse.
Yeah. What do you think contributed to that?
I don't know. Must have been the weather. It was very warm, so I had to hydrate a lot. On the course and after, just to make sure that, yeah, but that may have had a very big, it contributes, but I don't do myself any favors on the golf course. Good fun. Part-time. I now know what you're referring to with the Zuno shoot, which I did share, leaked a bit of an image to you earlier before I did that, those photos, Chriso, and I think you're pretty excited about that colorway release, which was, tell you what, mate,
it's bold.
I would not want to be, I was just talking about just doing these photo shoots, and I'm very much as far away as possible from being a model. It's just I've helped out a couple of people. If anything, I do a hand modeling, that's probably the best I could get. But in this instance, going down the tan it was a Monday, and I was flying out the next day, I reckon. And yeah, I helped out Tommy at Mizuno, and they were launching a new colorway of the Rebellion Pros and the Wave Sky Shoe. And was meeting Rachel McGuinness there, so she was part of the shoot. And because I run there at 5:30, it was meet at the corner of town, and I didn't tell the guys because I knew they'd give me shit about the shoot. And when Tommy said, "You're going to be there at 5:30 on the corner," I was like, "Oh, geez, they're going to see." So I rocked up. I actually did it like 10 minutes beforehand. And then I started to see, like, Reese came by, Reese Edwards, he usually jumps in. He's like, "Oh, mate, you're starting with us." And I was like, "No, you go on." And then a couple of other boys started running by, and they're like, "Oh, why are you running in the other direction?" And I just admit that, yeah, I wasn't running with them, but I was doing something else. And then they did cotton on to the fact there was a big camera being set up on the bridge, and they're taking a photo. Oh, I don't know if you've seen it, Chris. So there's a photo of the shoe with the city skyline in the background.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, so they were resting the shoe, and you know the Rebellion Pro that's got quite a beveled sole, like it's just sitting on the top of things. That you know, any bit of wind could have blown it into the Yarra, but they got the shot, and yes, and then it was a cold night, and had to wear a singlet and shorts, and you know, I'm tight.
Oh no, yeah, tights, long sleeve top, gloves, beanie.
And basically until November. So I was just sitting there, and then because you don't do a lot of running, it was just like we just do a small jog and then more shots. Then they're testing, they do heaps of testing of the actual photo, and I'm just like hanging around. I would have run a total of about 500 meters in 2 hours and freezing. We were you can definitely don't want to be doing that anytime soon in terms of being a model.
That's how you tear a hamstring.
Yeah, I know. we were literally running about 20 meters and in the super shoes.
well
so yeah, it was a bit of fun.
And it's a very, very nice sort of rainbowy type sunset setup they've got on the new shoes too.
Yeah, different on each side, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's very, very cool. I think, a lot of people will add that in. And you've already picked out a pair of socks to match with it, I believe.
I found a pair of socks for you. And, I think they've got some potential. Just finding a bit of the colour at the, I guess, predominantly white sock, but then with the blue, sort of purple, red, and even a bit of sort of yellowy orange there at the back, just to blend into the various colours. So who knows, mate, I'll keep an eye out. If you do find yourself in a pair of the new Rebellion Pros, I'll send the socks down. You can try them on and see what you think.
Yeah, I have got a pair sitting here ready to go. I just got to get fit enough to do them justice, because when you're wearing those shoes, you want to be running pretty well.
that is definitely a race day shoe, I reckon.
Yeah. Wouldn't be walking the dog or, into the cafe with those ones on. But you, mate, so yeah, that was me. That was all the extent of my running over the last week and a bit. But you've been a busy boy, mate. You've been out at Bundoora, you've been carving up the hills. But before that, yeah, a couple of tune-up sessions.
Yeah, so big week. I think 95k I ran for the week.
I've done that for
No, not since 2019, I don't think. I think, and even then, that was very short-lived because my body, I think I tried to force some Ks in back then because I thought maybe I could run the Gold Coast Marathon, but that lasted 2 weeks and we decided, no, that's not happening. So, 95 Ks, and that involved a session on the Wednesday. So the idea behind this week was off the back of Gold Coast that I guess the focus has been more probably Ballarat 15K. So we wanted to make this a bit of a heavier week to help with sleep, but also just as a bit of loading so that the body had something to absorb the week after and then take into Ballarat. So more Ks, Wednesday session. I ended up doing a 25-minute freshy and then straight into 4x200s, which was a late request from Andy to add the 200s in.
Mm.
And they were just going to be like strides. So no sort of 3K effort or 5K effort. It was just get your stretchy done, have a couple of minutes, and then run these 4x200 just as quick and as smooth as you can. Had a minute sort of standing around in between those, and the first one felt a bit rough, I guess like strides do, after an easy run. But the last three, it just felt so good.
They're in the same shoes.
Yeah, same shoes. It was cold, so I had gloves on and a long sleevey. So, the hands wouldn't have been able to undo shoelaces, I don't reckon, Wednesday morning. But, I did the 200s and then it doesn't happen that often, but actually had to force myself to slow down on a cool down, which was a great feeling. Buzzing. Just buzzing. The body felt good. It was nice and still. It was cold, but I was warm. Which those of you who are early morning fans, you get out on a frosty morning and you've just done a session and the body's all toasty, you'll know exactly what I mean. But no, it was just a great feeling. So body was feeling good, confidence was good, and sort of really for me just gave me a little bit of even extra, I guess, enthusiasm for the weekend ahead. But ticked that one off Wednesday, came out Thursday, and I was just running for the best part of it, sort of an easy hour and a bit. And yeah, just wanted to go and I guess tag along with Anna while she did her session. So we did the warm-up and the cool down together, and she had 8 by a K. So I just ran up and down the road. We've just got a basically a pretty straight bit of road, about 2 or 3 K from where we normally run. And yeah, and it was just running up and down, and I'd sort of get to the
was
end.
Was Anna going 1K turnaround or one like 3K or 1K?
Nah, so she'd just do 1K down, have her rest, and then come back the other way. So I'd get maybe 10 seconds of standing recovery just to get a quick synopsis of how that K went. Yeah. And then she was off and I'd be chasing her back down the road. So she was bloody amazing. She ran, so 8 by a K off 60 seconds and averaged 3:51s, which for her is awesome. So very happy. I was trying to do the math based on what I was running and how long I had to stop before she had to go again. And I was a little bit out. I actually didn't realize how well she'd gone. So it was pretty cool having a bit of a catch up and going through that cooling down. So I guess I had my session where I was buzzing Wednesday, and I had the same thing on Thursday, which was really cool. But yeah, led into race day. So Bundoora 10K, the state champs for cross country, and that course is tough.
You did Bundoora last year.
Yes, I staggered around Bundoora last year.
Yeah.
Got a real introduction to what Bundoora was like. And to be honest, with how chopped up and poor the weather was last year at Bundoora, I just braced for the worst. Saw the weather earlier in the week and it sort of looked like it was going to be overcast, and I just convinced myself, look, it's probably going to be water everywhere, it's getting muddy, there's about 7 races on before you get out there, course will be terrible.
Absolutely, that's usually.
And lo and behold, and you know, packing the clothes for the day, just basically packed as if I was going to the snow. Thermal tracksuit pants, had the snow jacket on, got there, not a cloud in the sky. It's about 14 degrees, could already feel sweat rolling down my neck. Like, wow, it's actually warm. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, because I saw some photos coming through and I was like, wow, it looks like a cracking day out there.
Mate, perfect. Yeah. You could not, if anything,
they didn't actually... Crosby didn't get the watering can out because I don't know how fast they have.
Stop on the track a little bit.
Yeah, they did make some mud pits a few years back. I raced it, and a few people were involved in doing that. But now, obviously, no mud at all.
No man-made mud. There were a couple of soft spots. There's a little dip when you sort of started to straighten up towards the finish line.
Yeah,
that was pretty soft, and then there was another little section, but it wasn't sloppy. It was just soft. But a lot of the other most of the course, it was firm to what I'd even consider hard, which suited me. I was wrapped, especially in the spikes. But no, it was good. We warm-up was fun, actually. The warm-up was a real highlight. I had a heap of highlights of the day. Probably the first one was, so I got to catch up with Catherine, who was on the podcast last week as our guest. So she came across with her partner Owen, and she was running her first AV event. So got to have a chat. We did some drills together, and then Catherine popped off with Nora to do a warm-up and do some strides, and Nora sort of gave her a bit of a rundown on what to expect, and they went and had a look at the Water Tower Hill and came back, and I think that was very helpful for Catherine. But she had a good run and absolutely loved it, and yeah, hopefully she's going to come and do Ballarat 15K as well. Perfect. So we might have a convert there. And James Telford's very, very much into her about joining Diamond Valley, and I might have suggested that the blue, white and gold of Bendigo might look a bit better. So we'll see what she's space on that one. But look, went and did the warm-up. So all the Division, well, I guess the Premier guys and the Division 3 team, we all went off and did our warm-up together, which was nice. And we did a full lap of the course, so that the 4K loop, and some very good advice from Andy as we're making our way up the, I guess, the big hill once you get off the back of the water tear and just say how patient you need to be, especially given that there was going to, you know, we're going to need to run up that hill twice and that you still needed to feel pretty fresh coming up at the second time or you were going to bleed sort of a fair bit of time. So
as you go and once you go through start finish, you know, your climb, you're just on this slow climb all the way up. Don't get any relief. And
oh no, there's nowhere to hide on that course.
Yeah. It's such a building course. You've got to build lap by lap. You can just, and you'll get to it, I'm sure, where you would have been able to work through the field. But it's crazy how many people, I remember, you know, years ago, you could go through in 60th, 80th, 100th and take up 30, 40 spots in the space of two laps.
Like, it was incredible.
Yeah.
After finishing the warm-up, I said to myself, you can't attack this any harder than threshold. You know, if you like the first part of the course in that 2K loop is by far the easiest. And even, you know, while the legs are fresh and it sounds like the sound of 350 people absolutely flying around over those first 500 meters, it's like being in the middle of a horse race. I was actually worried if I trip over here, I'm going to get stampeded to death. That's the end of me.
I almost think you need to, when you're talking to people who maybe inexperienced in cross or that, even where you would start in your road race, start 20 spots back and just sit there, you know, because we get used to just lining up in the same position and you go with the same people. And it's like, maybe you just need to be back further, but it's hard when the gun goes. We've all got that white line fever and you think, you're feeling good, so you go with it. And this is a course where it can, you know, it's an ideal. If you're doing it as a training run, then you're kind of working into it. It's almost the way you're going to end up getting a good race out.
Oh, and I remember looking down at my watch about probably 600 in, and I was a tick under 340. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's just relax a bit here. we really need to get through the first 2K unscathed. And I'm so glad I did. All I did in the first probably 2 kilometers was just watch people fly by me. And then after that, just went through. I don't know. And I have no idea where I would have been after that two and a bit K, but I ended up finishing 140th. And I don't recall anyone else going past me sort of made our way up the hill past the water tower.
Your K2 was 337, but K8 was 337.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It just shows you where you're at. Obviously, that's a different point of course, but yeah, it's tremendously consistent across those laps. So, it's sort of that nice building of the lap by lap. And did you get a pack to sit in with, or was it just sort of
by lap for bits and pieces? I did. What I would find is on the uphill, I'd just be going past people, and then on the downhill, you'd sort of make your way into a pack. And on the bits where I guess it was less undulating, so it's like a section that runs parallel to the road, and then you come across a little path before you sort of dip in and do a bit of an out and back towards the finish. That's relatively, I wouldn't say flat, but it's not hard. So you sort of get in a bit of a pack there, but as soon as the climb started again, that's when you really noticed who was going okay and who wasn't. Anyone that was kind of on the red line through those sort of flat and undulating bits, they really just fell to pieces on the bigger hills. So you'd sort of just keep moving on to another pack. But there's one interesting bit with about probably over the last 3K, I had a nice little battle with Magnus Michelsen, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah,
he's a machine. He was absolutely smashing me on the downhill.
And geez, you talk about a competitor. He is a fierce competitor. You cannot drop the guy and he will come back at you multiple times.
Mate, he did not stop on the downhills, absolutely putting me to the sword and just literally making me look very ordinary. I was actually trying to look at his technique and I was going too quick. My strides were too big, so I was essentially braking where he was just taking nice little steps on his toes and just flew on the downhill. And it was only on the uphills where I think he was sort of feeling it a little bit where I was able to get back past. So
we should state that Magnus is a 212. I reckon he got down to about 212.
Yeah, former Melbourne Marathon winner as well. And
leading the Sydney Olympic trial,
mm-hmm.
the marathon, and then unfortunately just got overtaken in the last, might have been the last K, like went out crazy fast and was on track and then got pipped online. But yeah, multiple Melbourne Marathon winner.
I believe Magnus is in his 50s now, so look, not in peak of his powers, but then when he was back, absolutely just destroying the fields in the Melbourne Marathon. But shit, it was good. It was just like, I know who this is, and this is going to be so. Like, it was actually a bit of a fanboy moment because one of my first ventures down to Melbourne was when it was a Frankston to Melbourne race and Magnus ran and won that year. And I just remember, I've always remembered and sort of looked at his running thereafter. So,
you know, a story about that one, quick one. Magnus was living on Beach Road and he'd done a lot of training along the beach there. And I knew the Frankston Melbourne always had a headwind that coming back. Frankston and Melbourne had been was very fit, but then it's got taller and taller, this story. I'd heard that he actually just woke up that morning, went outside and was like, it's tailwind, I'm racing today. it was either on the Saturday or even the Sunday morning. At least on the Saturday, it was that late that he decided he was going to jump in because the weather forecast was predicting a tailwind.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, great bloke.
Yeah.
But yeah, mate, and came through the field. Joji Mori as well. He's a 225 guy. He's pretty highly credentialed runner on the scene. So you had a few scalps, mate.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I think whilst I don't have many AV races to choose from, I was easily the best race result. Like, I think you look at, I finished 142nd. That's certainly nothing to fist pump the air about. But in terms of, I guess, getting the most out of the ability that I have, I felt like I actually exceeded expectations on this one. I think previous cross-country races, the effort's certainly been there, but the result hasn't necessarily been. I think it's been a learning experience probably over the last year and a bit to try and get better at cross country. And yeah, like it just all happened to click, I think, last weekend. So whilst the course was about 9.8, so I think over 10k that ends up being about 37.10 that I'd run.
And over the hills on grass, like you throw that on the road,
yeah,
that's a great run.
So no, I absolutely take that. I think starting to think maybe if we can find a 10k road or even a track at some stage after the Burnley race, but we'll see. I've just one race at a time. I know I can't get greedy because I know what my body will do. It'll just pack it up and shut down. So super happy. Was just like a kid at Christmas on the way home. I think after how well the Bendigo boys had done, and Nace Stoke came down with us in the car, so we're on the way back, and yeah, we're having a great time. Norsey had a great run; she beat her time by 4 minutes from the previous year, and yeah, it was all it was all celebrations all the way home. So the cheeky stop at McDonald's on the way home.
Yeah, what did you celebrate with?
So I had a quarter pounder with large chips and a Coke. Nathan had two large McChicken meals, not one, two.
See, that's and the key. Nate finished in the top. Did you finish in the top 10?
11th.
11th, yeah.
Yeah. So two large McChicken meals, and Nora looked on with disgust, and she had, I think she had some soup in a thermos. So.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's an interesting addition to the McDonald's menu.
Yeah, no, the large McSoup, it's a special. No, we had some leftover minestrone soup, which she thought she'd snaffle. So that ended up in the thermos and she ate that and pretty much judged me while I sat in the back seat enjoying my chippies. I think she appreciated the smell, but that was about it. So, it was a good trip.
What a weekend, mate.
Yeah, I loved it. I think, between meeting Tate and Owen in person, and as I said, even just little things, like I think you see, and I suppose being able to run with Brady and Andy and I guess all the faster young kids. And then Ellie Pashley ran up during the ladies race and Andy's having a bit of banter with her and she's giggling away. And it was all very surreal. You sort of like, hey, hang on, these are people I still really look up to as fans. And here they are cracking jokes with one another and you're doing a jog and you're sort of all dressed in the same kit thinking like, hey, we're a bit of a team. And then reality hits pretty hard when you finish 7 or 8 minutes behind them all in the race.
You're all out there doing the same. I wouldn't be saying that. I think the culture the clubs have, people, you see it with the clubs like Bendigo, Melbourne Uni, a lot of the groups that have over time fostered that culture of just having everyone get up together and warm up. And at the end of the day, you know, I know at the end of Melbourne Uni races, you'll be chatting to people and no one really talks about the time they ran. No. It's more about the experience and how they went within their perspective, you know, respective race within a race. So, you know, you're all out there on a Sunday run the next day and you're all doing, you know, back on the saddle on Monday doing that recovery run. So I think that's what brings everyone together.
It was good and it really felt like a team sport again, which was really cool. So, had an absolute ball for the day. So legs are still, look, they're getting better day by day. They're tired. It's just been easy running this week. I did have, it was 3 sets of 4x400s on the plan for tomorrow, but we're going to err on the side of caution. I'm just going to jump in at a progression run with Anna tomorrow. And then she has a long run session on Saturday as prep for a half marathon at the Shepparton Running Festival, which Runs PB will be at. So, I'm going to jump in that with her and just sort of, I guess, make it a bit more of a recovery week. And then race week next week, we're back.
It's all heading in the right direction for you. So very excited to see what happens at Ballarat off the back of that. It's, stay tuned.
Yeah, no, can't wait. I've just got to stay in one piece.
Hey, mate, we have our guests just about to enter, so we might let them in.
Let's bring them in.
This week's guest on the Better With Running podcast is one of my athletes, Maddie Morgan. Regular listeners, no doubt, would have heard Matt's name. Oh, he sprinkled through around the grounds and a few other comments along the journey of this podcast, but he's been with Run PB for a good part of 3 years. The time he signed up in, June 2020. And at that time, he'd racked up 8 marathons, had his eyes on Melbourne Marathon. And unfortunately, that got canned, as we know what happened over that period, and landed himself in Canberra for a marathon and was able to snag that elusive PB. Right, 2:58.19. His previous best was 3:11. So it was a big goal ticked. And then Matty moved his focus over the past few years to lowering half time. Most recently, knocked off the PB at the Launceston half in June with a 1:22.35. And he's setting himself up for a tilt at the Melbourne Marathon. He's a busy family man. He's got 2 kids and he's a member of the 5 a.m. club or even the 4 a.m. sometimes. Welcome to the show, Matty.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good, mate. How are you?
Very well. Very well. It's
We were just joking that you're probably going to have to get up pretty soon and run. We're going to keep you up too late.
My alarm is set for about 4:33 a.m., so won't be too far out of bed. Quick shower and just come off 80 minutes. So quick shower and back into it at 5, I reckon.
It's that's some serious blue collar training there. If we're recording this, it's about 8:30 for context. So Matty, I don't even think you need to ask that question a little bit later, Chris.
That's right. We might humour him, but no.
But yeah. Sorry, mate. I was just saying, we're excited to hear about your journey because, like I said, been with us for 3 years, had some real breakthroughs, obviously in the marathon, now in the half, and heading towards Melbourne. But I guess, as we do every interview, we try to wind it back as to how you got into running and what started you on the journey?
Yeah, so it's funny. I actually went down a bit of a rabbit hole yesterday and went back to my first marathon in 2012, and which, funny enough, was Melbourne. And I think I rolled about 3:51 and started going deep into marathon photos. And it's fair to say a lot's changed in the last sort of 10 or 11 years. But my journey started more as a group of guys at a place I worked with a little while ago, and sort of said, we'll go and do the Lonnie 10 as a group. And there was, I don't know, 10 or 15 of us at the workplace, and I sort of got into running from there. And I think we sort of maxed out at about 7Ks, ran two or three nights a week after work, and tapped out at 7Ks. And that was probably probably 2012, I reckon, June 2012. And it sort of just stemmed from there, and it just followed on from, finished doing that in about 47 or 48 minutes. And one of the guys turned around and said, we should do a marathon. And the rest is history. It sort of stemmed from there. Beg your pardon?
I was going to say, was that a pub bet or a post-race?
No, not even. It was just, I think it was, we should just, oh, why don't we set a goal, and if you can run 10, you can run 42. back then, when I guess there was sort of no science to it, and you sort of run 3 days a week, and you think that run 3 days a week, and then you think you've got a 30K run every, I don't know, three times before you run a marathon, and then you're good to go. So,
what was it? Just going to say back to that lifestyle you were leading in 2012, 2013, yep, working, a few mates go for a jog, but what sort of lifestyle were you leading outside of that? Was it health and wellness?
Well, to put it in context, where I used to work, I had a KFC across the road. I had a jacket potato place across the road. I had a fish and chips, and then I had a Macca's down the road and a couple of bakeries. And it was fair to say I spent a fair bit of my time in those places. And if I wasn't there, I was at the pub. And I was probably putting away 10 or 15 cigarettes a day, just out of habit to get me out of work. So it probably wasn't a great lifestyle. I enjoyed it at the time, but over the years I've probably cleaned up a little bit.
Do you still kick yourself when you think back to, like, now that you set your alarm for 4:30 to get out and run, you know, do a workout or run the next day, and it's...
There was times I was getting home at 4:30 on a Friday morning and going to work. I'd be running past pubs. Then I started running, and I'd see people leaving nightclubs or bars, because where I'm from is obviously quite a small place, and you see some of the stragglers around town or in the car parks, and a couple of those guys were the ones that you actually worked with and couldn't understand what you're actually doing and why you're actually out at 5:30 or 6 o'clock of a Saturday or a Sunday morning. And so, I don't know, on reflection, I look back and I was having a great time back then doing it. But in hindsight, there was probably cleaner ways to do things. But yeah, fast forward 2023 and I still enjoy a few beers, but yeah, put the cigarettes down and probably not doing it as heavily.
We have seen a world record from our man, Mr. Chen.
Uncle Chen.
Uncle Chen.
No, we won't advocate you bringing it back.
No. Uncle Chen has received a lot of great publicity, and he still refuses to come on the show. So we continue to ask, and but whether he can't understand the emails or he just point blank refuses to deal with us, I don't know. But anyway, Maddie, going back to 2012, if someone had to sat you down and gone, hey, future Maddie in 2023, he's going to be a 2:58 marathon guy, 1:22 half. He's going to be the sort of person who absolutely gets a kick out of setting his alarm for 4:33 a.m. most days of the week to get out and run. What do you think 2012 Matty would have thought of that bloke?
I don't reckon there would have been anyone in my circles who would ever speak like that. At the time, there's absolutely no way that was happening. And I guess, as you know, like through times, you see some gradual improvements and not just, I guess, times on the board, but you see some improvements in health and you start getting into a bit of a routine and it flows from there. Like I said, it's been 10 or 11 years in the making and each year probably more so over the last probably 3 or 4 years is probably where my training's peaked. And even the last 6 months would be the most training I've done in the last 10 years per week. So in terms of mileage, and it's just, I guess, learning more about the sport and learning more about yourself as opposed to just going out and 3 days a week and for the sake of it. But there's definitely the enjoyment level there, and that's probably the main thing, that I'm still enjoying it, so which is what gets me out the door and setting little goals as well.
Yeah, just to, I suppose, drill down a little bit more in terms of what you do enjoy, what is it specifically that, you know, that leaves you really looking forward to getting out there every day and ticking the, whether it's the sessions, the long runs, you know, is it the catching up with mates? Like, what is it that you really love about what you're doing at the moment?
Mostly there's a good group of guys who, and from all levels that we run with, and some days there might be no one there. Other days we might have a group of 12 or 13. And there's that banter within the group that sort of keeps you going. And then there's just setting small goals along the way that I think I want to try and improve myself as well. So, and that's the biggest driver and motivation to get out there while I can. And I guess still seeing improvements as I get older. So I've just turned 40 this year, but since, like I said, the last 2-3 years has been where my fitness has probably peaked and the best results have come. So it's probably a bit of an addiction at the moment, just to see how far I can go the older I get. But yeah, seeing small improvements along the way is definitely beneficial.
Mate, one of those big breakthroughs I mentioned in the intro was Canberra Marathon. And
yep.
I mentioned you ran the 258 mileage. I was looking back just earlier today, and we've spoken a lot about this, and I know now we're leading into Melbourne Marathon in a build at the moment, but your build into Canberra, you know, if you look back, I don't think we went over 100. I think we get topped out at 93K.
I was looking back at that, and for the whole block, I think we tapped out about 96Ks, and we only tipped into 90Ks three times, maybe four times max throughout the whole block. I guess going back to the build that we had for Lonnie Half in June just gone, I reckon we strung together 8 weeks minimum, I'd say, that we'll just, that 90 became the new norm. Whereas previously, I reckon if I'd done 90Ks, I wouldn't walk for 3 days afterwards. So that 75 to 80 was probably my limit, and 90, 95 was where I was getting really, really tired and really fatigued. So again, made a few lifestyle changes and that's enabled to do those sort of mid 90 to 100s.
And you think back to that, the way you executed that race as well, I mean, it's all well and good to have the mileage and be consistent, which you did. You stuck to the program, you looked after your body, and it's different. Everyone's approach is different to, you know, chasing that sub 3, but I guess we've got a lot of other listeners that are, you know, have, and you had a decent crack at it over the years with your marathons. Is there any advice for some people out there chasing that sub 3 in terms of, you know, how you were able to lock in on it and what you could sort of bring to the table in terms of that advice?
Apart from the cliche of trust the process. but I suppose the two, let's say two, maybe three cracks I had at I guess I probably thought I was ready, but realistically looking back as to what I know now, I was so far away from being ready and chasing it. Listening to, if you're employing a coach, to actually listen and trust what they're saying and bounce ideas off as well. For me, it was slowing things down, especially long runs, but also within sessions, is to not get focused on the times and actually listening to your body. So there's times where you've got a time there to hit through, whether it be in a workout, and you might be, I'm setting myself up for this weekend, there might be a float there that you're meant to hit. Now, everyone knows their own body better than anyone else, but I guess if you can't hit that float, my idea is try and execute it so you can actually hit the workout part of it and make sure you've given yourself enough chance to recover to then hit the workout again. At least try and hit a number, and rather than trying to hit floats workout and burying yourself and not completing a session, and then use your recovery days to really recover and pull it back. And if you can't get through an hour and you want to pull the pin at 45 or 50 minutes, then that 10 minutes is probably going to pay dividends as opposed to breaking you by trying to force it out.
No, I think what I've noticed coaching you is you don't tend to go for the ballpark sessions where you just absolutely try and nail one every 2 weeks where it's an absolute, you know, well beyond what's on the paper. It's just you consistently hit, and sometimes it's, you know, bang on the mark, sometimes a little bit under, but you get the work done. And that's, I'd much rather you do that. I'd much rather athletes sort of get there rather than reaching for those sessions that are sort of almost the super sessions, or, hey, you've set, you know, four rows on there, but I'm feeling good today. I'm going to run 350s and this will be impressive and I'll be feeling confident. And then, you know, in many respects, you know, as coaches, we'd rather get 402s out if that's what it is on the day, but you get through the workout and we get on to the next one in one piece. So, but it's funny, I was looking back at just a marathon workout you did in March before that Canberra, and you had, it was a 10 mile, and it was that marathon, and your description was 10 mile at marathon-ish pace. So I was like, let's do a 10 mile at marathon pace. And you ran 4:11s for the marathon-ish pace, as you put in. I looked up your splits at Canberra, and your consistency on that, you were locking in on your 10K. Every 10K, it was like your first 10K was 42:17, which is 4:13s, 42:10, 4:13s, 42:09, 4:12s, 42:21, 4:14s, and the last 2K odd was 4:15. So you averaged 4:13s for the marathon. You went from 130th at the start to finishing, you know, in under the 100th spot, under the 100th spot. So well executed. And it was, I think you just talk about sticking to the process and not getting carried away. I think that's what, I think, I know you're talking Strava times again. I think you also had after that marathon PB that we fucking got it.
We did,
Which was, you know, after eight cracks at that, sub, well, not so much at,
yeah,
at sub three, but eight maras, nine maras.
Yeah.
Very cool to see.
But and I guess that I remember that 10 mile session, and that was probably the one where that was the one that gave me the confidence that I think we're actually on. Like, finished that one, finished 16 Ks and walked away from it like, I don't know, it was an easy Saturday run. And that was the confidence coming off a big mileage week into a 10 mile at marathon pace, and then into a Sunday long run the next day, and walking away from that. It was certainly the confidence that you sort of need. If you're after one confidence session as a confidence builder, then that one was it. So, and I'm pretty lucky too. The group of boys that I run with keep me pretty grounded. No one's pumping up anyone's tires that they're flying and giving you extra kudos telling you should be running better than you are. If anything, they're telling you to pull up and stop acting like a cowboy. So, and that's just by going slightly under. So I'm pretty grounded in that respect.
I can almost tell from...
And apart from a bit of shit banter, my Strava's pretty quiet.
I was going to say, I'm always worried whenever I see a session from you and there's 25 comments underneath, I think, oh no, he's either gone out too hard, he's stopping it. Or so less comments usually means you've done the work.
Yeah. If I get comments on Strava, there's two blokes and that's it. For a reason.
Hey, look, you're putting the weeks together, mate, and obviously with Melbourne coming up, going along very nicely. I know Zach is a very happy coach at the moment, but what are some of the things that you're doing for recovery that's helping to keep you in one piece? I know there's obviously listening to what Zach is telling you. That's the key thing. But what are you doing to look after yourself to keep yourself in A1 condition?
Try and stay away from the Bain Marie and the bakeries. I don't do a lot of strength work. And I think the main thing is to slow things down, trying to get in for a massage probably every 5 or 6 weeks if I can, just for a bit of maintenance, but really just sort of listening to and how my body's feeling before I go out, and that's sort of about it. Definitely no strength work. There's a foam roller sitting right next to my couch, which gets used once in a blue moon because it would mean I'd have to get off the couch and lay on the tiles and roll. But just to try and take the easy days easy. Again, it's cliche as that sounds.
Good stuff, mate. Actually, want to test the memory here. Had a listener question come in from someone who may have been aware that you're coming on to have a chat with us. And just wanted to pose a bit of a question around. Apparently there's a bit of leaked footage of you on the internet. And we all know that the internet is forever. Of you running home rather intoxicated from a running festival. Just wondering if you could give
maybe
us
not a running festival. From a beer festival or something.
Yeah. Just a local festival, a family-friendly festival on the calendar. Yeah. Awesome. 6K double for the day.
How was the form on that trip home? We were sort of nice and upright, sort of mostly a bit of a forward lean, or was it a bit sort of two steps forward, one step sideways, one step back? How did that go? Do you have many memories?
It was probably more of a 600 on, 600 off all the way home until it got a bit steep, and then it was just a walk up the hill. I was going a lot better. Thought I was going a lot better than what I was. I'd have to go back and look my Strava. I thought I was flying. My heart rate's about 180. I'm like 6 minute Ks.
Strava did it.
I think so. Yeah, it's run home from Festivali or something. So,
Do you recall what time you began that run?
I think gates shut at 10:30, 11 or something like that. Just been in the mosh pit for Living End and finished my second bottle of rosé and couldn't get a taxi, so it was a 5K jaunt home.
Yeah. What shoes do you reckon you would have been rolling for that one?
They were Adidas. They were
super shoe.
Like a Stan Smith or something. So a little bit of cushioning. So wasn't rolling Dunlop volleys or KT26s or anything like that. So no shin splints.
No, very good. And there's a follow-up listener question just around thoughts on adding bonus Ks to the weekly program to hit milestones.
I'm very much against that. And that's how you can run into some serious injury issues. Namely ITB, quad issues, knees. But if you're not doing what you need to in a warm up or a cool down, it's not a bad way to get an extra couple of Ks in.
Very good.
Quickly turned into a bit of a roast on you, mate. But let's just frame up just a touch before we get back into this. Some more quick fire questions. Melbourne Marathon preps underway. Got a session that challenges you that I've said in the past, or that you maybe knows that you potentially know that's coming, it could challenge you in this block?
Is there one, sorry?
Yeah, or is there one in the past blocks that sort of challenge you, or you've see it come up on the program, you're like, yeah, don't really want to be doing this one, or it's one of those ones you try to avoid?
I don't know. Well, I actually looked ahead to this weekend, and it's a session I've done before, except the paces have been dropped a bit, and so is the float. So this one this weekend worries me a little bit. So, I guess coming out of the block for Canberra, unless I put the bad ones out of my memory, there was probably one on paper that that looked daunting, but actually felt like it came out all right. And it might have been, I don't know, maybe an hour easy into, I don't know, 4, 3, 2K on X amount of float. So something around there. It might have been 90 minutes easy into some efforts. But I actually don't mind the longer reps. So yeah, I try not to think too far ahead.
You got 3x3K with a 1K float.
3x3K with a K float, yeah.
The paces
have been dropped significantly two months ago.
That's your own fault for running so fast at Lonnie. it's going to be a good block. Excited to see you out here in Melbourne. It's going to be – did you run Melbourne after that first one you did?
So I went back in 2023, and the naivety of me again not running a whole lot, maybe I definitely didn't have a Garmin back then. I would have been lucky to have an old Nike watch, or TomTom or something like that, and went back in 2013, and every time the alarm went off beforehand, I was like, oh, I've done a marathon before. It'll be all right. I don't know what to expect. And went out like free beer and was with the 3:30 pacer and ended up running 3:53 and had a singlet that looked like two Japanese flags by the time I finished.
Oh, no. Like
it was a rough day. Yeah, no, I haven't been back since 2013.
I think you're going to turn the tables this time around, just quietly.
I've not heard that description of Kate before. I'm going to hang on to that. Thank you. That's great.
I'll shoot through some footage and make a grimace.
Well, Zaka could, always need a photo or promo shot for the podcast.
You're trying to attract listeners, aren't you?
All right, Chris. I reckon it's time, mate. It's pretty much
the focus. It's a visual that is I'm trying to remove from my brain.
Well, that's what I said. I went down a rabbit hole yesterday and ended up going through marathonphotos.com and going 2012, because I'd never actually looked at them to see how bad things actually were, and it wasn't great.
That's okay. We all learn from the things that don't go quite right, don't we?
Mate, you've had a few people down rabbit holes. I've had a certain fella that may have been on the podcast before, maybe named Paul Reason, who's been sending through some pictures in the archives, and yeah. So a couple of them might get brought up in these quick questions because there is some relevance.
Well, mate, I'm actually running with him in about 8 hours' time. So
you'll both be able to play this with a bit of luck. So this will go well. Hey, just a couple of looseness to start off with, mate. A couple of easy ones. What sort of watch are we rolling? Garmin, Chorus, Apple?
Garmin.
Good. Garmin. Good choice.
No, it's only one bloke watch. I know who used to roll an Apple.
No, well, hey, we've all got to start somewhere, I guess. But speaking of Apple, your phone choice, what way are we leaning there?
Apple.
Yeah, so they're good for phones, not for watches.
Yeah, no.
That's okay. Hey, marathon sessions coming up, lots of good stuff. having some gels on the long runs? What are we going for there? What's our go-to?
So I've been using Coda recently.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Which have been good. They've got the caffeine, maybe a lemon lime caffeine and just a standard wild berry, so which are easy to get down, a bit smaller than a Morton, half the price of Morton.
For I was going to say, better value servant. Than the Morton.
Yeah.
They're a good value choice, I hear.
They Australian product as well?
I'm not too sure. They
I don't know.
They sold out of one of our hiking stores. They used to sponsor a former Olympian from Tasmania who no longer runs marathons. But they sit in my gutter right at the moment. So
that's all right. Now you had a bit of a chat before about some sessions that you get a bit nervous about, but what's your favorite session like? And look, doesn't necessarily have to be a marathon session, mate, but what's the one that sort of gets the legs up and about knowing that that's on the plan?
I can start with one that doesn't get me up and about, and that's a hilly tempo.
Black. Take that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But Andy Buchanan, if he's listening to this, he has crossed you off the list. That is not cool.
But like I said, I probably enjoy the longer stuff that I can sort of lock in, and whether that's a 5-4-3K with a float or a recovery in there, just gives me ability. My fast twitch fibers aren't great, so if I can lock into something and switch off, then that'd be my preference.
But any shorter sessions, like is there a fartlek or something like that you enjoy? Or can they all get in the bin?
No, actually, I don't mind any sort of 25 to 30 minute. What did we do? Kenyan fartlek the other day, and
That's a good one.
Which creeps up on you, which was nice. So I am enjoying the shorter stuff at the moment before we lock into some marathon specific.
Been a fan of the Portsy fartlek as well.
Yes, yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago, last week. So.
Sounds like you're across them all.
No, good stuff. Now, I know starting at the hours that you do, it's very blue collar and don't always get a chance to run with someone, but do you prefer to run by yourself or with the banter with your mates?
Probably banter with the mates. All we can get quite abusive. But like I said, it keeps you grounded and safety in numbers, and if we can give each other something to, well, it's generally me giving them something to laugh about me, but definitely good group of boys that I run with.
With the group, so who would have the best banter in the group?
Oh, none of it's great. I can't answer that. No.
That's okay. So what I'm hearing is the banter's normally terrible, so we can't. There's no one that really stands out being really good, but who's the worst? Who's got the worst banter on a consistent basis? Yeah,
it's throwing me under the bus.
Jesus. It has to be Geely. And I know that he'll listen to this too. So shit chat, but he's an Essendon supporter and there's not much he doesn't know about it. So it probably comes with the territory, Zacha.
I'll take that. Can't really talk back to a Collingwood supporter at the moment.
No.
That's right. I'm just going to give you a chance, an opportunity there to shout out some of your mates. Controversial one, mate. Half tights or shorts?
Splitties for like a faster session and races. Half tights if the temperature's just dropping a little bit and it's a session or just need to stay a little bit warmer, but be 5-inch minimum.
Does that, well, given that you live in Tassie, does
5-inch
that...
5-inch maximum, I should say.
Wow. Yeah. Does that mean that tights are sort of a 9 months of the year staple, or like what's the cutoff temperature for you? Because I know...
Zero or below. I reckon I've only pulled my tights out twice this winter so far, so long tights. So
just earlier in the show, I was talking about I'm not out of tights till probably November.
You're in long sleeve and tights on the Gold Coast, mate.
Zero. Wow.
Matty, are you a man of fashion as well as Paul?
No, he's got me absolutely covered.
That's okay. That's all right. No. We'll still delve into some of your preferences, mate. What about the socks? What's your favorite running sock at the moment?
I'm a simple man, and I've just got I've got a drawer full of Steigens that match nothing.
Yeah. That's a shame to hear that, but we're not going to hold that against you. Do you have a favorite color, or it's pretty much whatever you reach in and find in the depths of the dark morning, that's what goes on the foot and that's it?
No, mornings are whatever. Race day you might put a little bit more thought into. I think I rolled the black with the bright planets on the Lonnie half, and
yeah, you know, the Cosmos socks.
Yeah, so I'll generally try and find something for a decent race, but apart from that, it's whatever's in the drawer with the least amount of holes.
So I know Nathan Stokes.
Sorry to offend you, mate. Yeah.
No, not offended at all. I know Nathan Stokes is a big fan of the Steigen Planet socks as well. So good choice.
If I could have a quarter of that ability, then I'd be happy.
Mate, well, you're well on the way. You're breaking three and you're wearing cool socks. So I'm a big fan of the Steigens. So good job. Running surfaces, track, road or trails?
Believe it or not, I've actually never run on a track.
I think we need to fix that, Zacha.
Our track, you've got to have a swipe pass to get in. And even though...
Oh, it's a domain.
It's a council...
Oh, no, sorry, not Lonnie.
So St Leonard's got it's just called St Leonard's.
Hmm.
So you got to have a swipe card to get in there. Trails, mate, I'd get lost in a cereal box. I'm a simple man with simple needs, and I can generally know what is going to take me an hour, what loop's going to take me an hour, what's going to take me an hour and a half, and just a creature of habit.
Your Strava
roads and footpaths. Yeah,
your Strava is. And I am the absolute worst person to have a crack at that, because my Strava is very boring and the same route, even worse than yours. But there's a lot of the same maths going on for you, mate.
Yeah. Just sink. And at 5 o'clock, you don't want to have to think too much about where you're going to run.
No. I mean, you're just defending the local legend on Strava. Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that.
Up a few there.
It's the...
lawn system.
The what is it, the equivalent of the encouragement award from the coach?
McDonald's award.
I can't get I'll never get a crown, so I've got to take the encouragement award.
Creating your own segment.
Nah, it's definitely the most consistent. You've encouragement award. No, it's definitely most consistent, or even most courageous.
Coach's award.
Yeah, like there's that one. It's nothing to be ashamed about, mate. It's okay.
Most improved.
Oh, jeez.
Oh no. And this is completely off topic, but I thought I'd mention it. There was a bloke in like cricket team I used to play, and he won most improved 2 years in a row. and then got a league encouragement award as well. And his father was the coach of the cricket team and one of the people on the committee for the association. So anyway, it's got nothing to do with, I just thought it was just something that should have, did not have that on the rundown sheet when we started tonight. Hey, race outfits, mate. I know you like the Planet socks, but are we putting a bit of colour in the race outfit, or are we sort of black on black? Like, what way are we leaning that?
I can't go black on black. I haven't actually bought that much new kit for a while. Canberra was the mango singlet, splitties, black socks, mango vapor flies, and it doesn't get much more adventurous than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you spend a bit of time with Paul sort of going over kits and just getting a few tips that way, or are we just letting that one go straight through to the keeper and just ignoring him?
I get enough photos of kit choices and what do you think I should wear from him rather than me trying to send him to him. He's worse than some other people I know, but he'll send through shoe combinations, sock combinations. What do you think of this? I like this. I don't like that. And then his girlfriend likes something else. I said, well, just go with that then. I don't know why you're asking me. But then I realised, I find out he's not just sending it to me. He's shopped around.
The whole pole going, yeah.
He's shopped around to try and get the best advice, and he'll just go with what he wants anyway. So,
trouble in paradise over here, Chris.
I'm looking forward to the Strava title.
This is going to be a good run to chat.
Yeah, mate. I can't believe it. I mean, Strava is a largely free app. And if you're not following Matt and Paul, it's free. So I'd recommend jumping on and giving it a follow now because the website might crash tomorrow.
Hey, mate, just before you go on, Chriso, are you a fan of the flat lay picture before a race?
No.
Not at all?
No.
What about back in 2013? Were you a fan of it then?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Was I?
Yeah. According to Instagram, it's got a huge five likes.
Five likes, 10. It?
Yeah, and a blue singlet, the old yellow
Adidas. And a goon bag.
A glass of wine on the singlet. And the hashtags were race day eve, hydrating early, solid prep. Goon will help me run sub 40 minutes.
June. So this is how well I was going back in 2013. That a group of mates and I decided that. So you've got Dry July, which is generally for a great cause. So we thought we would come up with our own. It wasn't a charity, but our own challenge, and it was Goon June. And the only rule was that you had to drink a glass of Goon every day in June. And then it just became, so every day you took a photo with a glass of Goon and in a different setup in a different environment. So it's not actually that funny when you talk about it, but I reckon I went through.
2013, Matty, it was funny.
I reckon I went through 6 litres of Goon in June. I've never looked at San Bernardino and Fruity Lexia ever again.
Yeah, you've certainly come a long way with your flat lays before Launceston. Although you didn't do that. That was a cracking photo that came out. I can't believe it's only got five likes. And I didn't like even today when I saw it.
he's gone deep there.
You've been stitched up again.
Mate, morning or evening runs, do you have a preference? Like, do you feel better being a bit sleep deprived in the morning, or is it sort of, do you enjoy sort of getting through the day and having it as a bit of a stress reliever in the evening?
No, I'd take a morning run every day of the week. Mm-hmm. So then it's done. Like, I could sit there and dwell on it, and my body seems to function better of a morning. Like, I went out for 80 minutes after work, and my work's definitely not strenuous. It's probably more sitting and walking up and down stairs every now and then. But to go out for 80 minutes this afternoon as opposed to 80 minutes at 5 a.m. This afternoon felt like it was 2.5 hours.
It's all right. I'm very much team morning runner. I think there's quite a few of us in that running those blue collar times, and I've got a lot of respect for you, mate. So I love to hear that. I'm interested in this one. I would like, so one question, but I'm hoping for two answers. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? And I want to know an answer from 2012 Matty versus 2023 Matty.
Want to know?
Jesus, 2012 Matty. It was pretty basic. It was if I was cooking at home, it was probably just bolognese dishes. I was known to, and my old housemate he threw them in the bin after a while. I'd get home from work and I'd put four dim sims in a microwave and just defrost some home brand dim sims and eat them with some tomato sauce while I was getting dinner ready. I'll stand on deck having a Winnie Gold. But so that was 2012. So
can you take a photo of that? Epitome of fitness.
That is not going in the cookbook.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Some microwave dim sims.
But thankfully things have changed.
Things have changed.
You've certainly upgraded. What's upgraded, yeah. Maddie? Sort of part two point oh. Yeah, Maddie 2.0.
I actually eat and cook. I cook quite a few curries, but also quite partial to a roast pork, Sunday roast pork with the crackling and cooked in the barbecue and with all the trimmings and a little glass of red on the side. So that would see me through most Sundays if I had to.
Don't pair it with the free Lexia.
Not a great combination.
I like the sound of that though. I think that could be photo worthy, even Instagram worthy, Chriso.
Absolutely. I'd be disappointed if that doesn't reach the gram at some point over the next couple of weeks. What are your top three side dishes with the roast pork, mate? Just quickly.
So pumpkin, carrots and potato all cooked in the roasting dish underneath the meat, so they get nice and burnt and charred with the meat juices.
Very nice. Are we roasting the pumpkin with the skin on or are we taking that off?
Skin on for roast.
Ah, good choice. Well done. He's one of my people, Zacho. I think we can keep this one. Very, very impressed. Favourite Aussie runner and why? Doesn't have to be someone who's necessarily fast, but have you got a favourite, mate?
Probably not necessarily favourite, but I guess it's probably the last 2 years with the coverage between, I guess, this podcast and the rivals with Inside Running bringing more of a focus and attention to it, and it's just, I suppose, it's good to get an understanding and see who's out there and who's doing well, and even having guys like Mad Mitch over covering and the interviews he's doing with young guys like Cam Myers, and I'm really interested to see what he's going to do coming through the ranks, and he seems like a kid with his head screwed on, and he's got some good people in his corner, so really interested, not so much a favorite but just interested to see where he's going to go in the future, and hope that as a 16 or 17 year old that he does actually stick it out and doesn't burn himself or grind himself.
No, pretty exciting. You run.
Exciting prospect, yeah.
Just to see how he develops and hopefully get it. I'm still very young, but it'd be pretty cool to see him on the start line at the Olympics next year in Paris. So
probably surprised himself, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I suppose, with Adam Spencer running 3:31 the other day, obviously it adds to the mix, but it'd be really cool. But
just a raw talent at the moment.
Yeah, and just a kid, literally a kid. Like, what are most sort of 16, 17-year-old kids doing? It's not running world-class 1,500-metre times, that's for sure.
No, and then flying back from a dime league so he can finish school.
Yeah.
Or go to school, yeah.
You are quite the athletics fan. I know you're a bit of a nuffy in the runners, and what a time to be a fan of Australian athletics.
No, it's exciting.
I think you enjoying the coverage, I suppose. Like, how do you mainly watch it? Like, is it, do you have a KO subscription? Do you jump on YouTube? Are you sort of jumping on Insta each day and sort of getting an update from Mitch? Like, because he's doing a phenomenal job. Mate.
It's
that man.
It's that stuff at all. And the amount of stuff that you wake up to and see, and it's probably from those snippets and to see and covering not just the Diner League, but even just seeing folks like Jimmy Hansen, who's run like C-grade 1500s and still being able to cover him and the coverage that he's giving like track and field athletes, or field athletes as well, is great. And it's there in your face as soon as you wake up or if you go searching for it. So that's pretty much where I'm getting most of my results and coverage. With a 5 and a 3-year-old, I don't get much access to the TV. So been good.
So you're a fan of Bluey?
But I've actually never watched an episode. I've read a few books. I know it goes on in the background. If I hear it on, I know it's a safe program. And unfortunately, like for a short period of time, I'll let the TV do the parenting and I'll have nothing to do with it.
Very good. Now, I know you probably don't get a lot of free time, but when you do, what sort of podcasts are you listening to? I'm assuming this one's on a regular rotation, but is there anything else that you sort of dial into?
Since I've started a new job, which is an office-based job, I try and put my headphones in to tell people I'm busy, but they still come and interrupt me. Whereas previously I used to be on the road 5 days a week and I could churn through as many as I wanted to. I'll listen to the odd imperfects. So Hugh Van Kylenberg, his series there. A couple of running podcasts, and then every now and then if I want some brain dead material, I'll listen to like an Alpha Blokes podcast, which is just a couple of blokes talking smack and listen to sort of how the other half live and hear a few blokes spinning some yarn. So if I need something that I don't have to think about too much, but no, most of my podcast listening is all just broken like into 5 and 10 minute lots, so I can't go into anything too deep.
Very good. Last one from me, mate. Training in a beautiful part of the world already, down there in Tassie in Launceston. But if you could go anywhere for a bit of a training camp and take 3 mates with you, where would you head off to and who's coming with you?
Yeah. I actually haven't put any thought into this at all, but we do have a beautiful part of the land or part of the world down here, and the cleanest air and the nicest beaches and a few trails. Maybe I could take someone who's good with direction, can take me through a few trails. And I'd probably go too far. I've probably traveled a little bit but a fairly geographically challenged, if I'm perfectly honest with you. So probably find a nice part of the world down here, down on the east coast somewhere, get out to a little island, I'd take my wife for moral support, and take a couple of boys out of the group, and we'd probably do a little bit of running, might wind back the clock to circa 2012 for a couple of days and then get training.
What about like there's a beautiful spot there, I guess in the south down at Wineglass Bay. Like I sort of the name's very fitting, but it is a genuinely beautiful spot.
Yeah, down the east coast there. You've got the whitest sands, the cleanest beaches, the cleanest air, some beautiful trails, and national forest. National parks down there, so
good spot for a hilly tempo.
Perfect.
Telling it. Maybe we need that. Needs to be the Run to BB camp down in Tassie. We get Josh and Joshy Harris and Jimmy Hansen to take us on some
guide us through
loops. Yeah,
we could get Josh to fall. Josh on the uni loop. Yeah, relive some of the glory days.
Mate, the only some of the uni loop by Zwift now. I think that's the only chance to get him in the uni loop.
I ran around there the other night and I said to my mate, I said, I can't believe this bloke trained so many hours and so many kilometres around this 1.6K loop. Nothing good comes from it, apart from a world chance qualifier.
There's always an exception, mate.
mate, it's been great having you on. Been really, really fun, and you've been a good sport. copping a few drive-bys. But more importantly, it's been really interesting to hear about your journey. And I didn't really know that much, the extent of, you know, how you've changed your lifestyle and obviously over the years, and then coming on board to run to BB in the last few years. It's been awesome as a coach to see it progress and do the work you've done and get the rewards. And looking forward to this Melbourne prep. And I know some of the listeners will be following along, probably more importantly, to see what titles on tomorrow's run.
I know I'll be there. I'll be logged in.
See some of the great banter. Yeah. No, and I guess, like, from a community point of view, the communication and you talk about the banter and what started off as wanting to do a three month marathon program turned into maybe we should look at a month to month option, turn into open lines of communication, of friendship, and then the run to PB community, and which turns into the banter you see on Strava and the conversations that get had with people you've never met and you might come across at a race in a year or two's time. But it's been good.
And absolutely. And I've seen, you know, obviously see that, and you're going to get a chance to toe the line with some fellow Run to PB athletes at Melbourne. And I think, I know at Canberra you did, but I think now you've forged a number of friendships, and I think it'll be cool to see you out there on the road in a much better shape than the last time you were at Melbourne Marathon.
Yeah. Go and catch up with the people's man and Mr. Physio.
Yes.
Man of the people.
It's going to be fun, mate. And you get some sleep now because you've only got a few more hours to get up and play some music with Paul. All right, mate. Take it easy.
All right, maybe upload this at 6 a.m. instead of 5 a.m. All right, cheers, guys. Thanks, guys. Thank you. See ya.
Mate, that was good fun catching up with Matty. I know he's, like we said, he's a great sport and good bit of banter. And he's obviously kicking some goals on the track as well.
He's doing very well. Just to hear about his journey over the last sort of 10, 11, 12 years, and then to see all the strides that he's made going over the last 12 months. And, hey, with Melbourne coming up, who knows? If he can take another chunk out of that marathon time. It's just awesome to see another member of our community doing so well, but also absolutely loving what he's doing as well.
Well, mate, and he mentioned he wasn't a huge sock man, but you are. And
well, it's true. That is true.
Something that came across my Instagram, like we got tagged in it. Run to PB got tagged in, and you received a bit of a gift from Oat Running Socks.
Did so the team at Oat, they've been listening to the podcast, and keen listeners may recall that our interview with the OG Matty Davey, and saying, you know, sock collection had sadly taken a bit of a hit over the last little while, and he loves his Oat socks, but they did have some holes in them, and a bit of a cheeky suggestion, if there was anyone out there listening that could maybe help Matty out, that'd be appreciated. And lo and behold, the team at Oat, they were listening and were very, very keen to help Matty out with his socks. And they were very generous to throw a nice pair of navy blue with a white stripe pair of socks up the highway, well, across the highway, because they came from South Australia, from the legends over there. And just to my surprise, yesterday morning, the postie dropped in at work, and he's on a very regular basis with the people at Australia Post, as they deliver various gels and shoes and socks and other running orders that come through. And I wasn't expecting anything, so to have that sort of lob across onto the desk, like, oh, hello, what have we got here? And it was very excited. So managed, they've done well. The navy blue, sort of
what color did you get?
So that it's navy blue, comes up to around the bottom of the calf, and it's got a nice white stripe on it. So we'll go very nicely with some of the Ernie Old kit.
Yes, they do.
That that I've recently acquired. So that, very happy with that. And it's very comfortable as well. It sits well, nice and light, but there is a little bit of extra cushioning in the heel and in the toe. So for those of you that like a little bit more padding in your socks, the Oat socks will definitely be for you. But they also have an all white sock and also like a gray or a platinum, I think, if you're looking for a fancier name for the color sock as well. But look, bloody brilliant surprise. And yeah, it was pretty cool just to think that there's people out there listening and getting a laugh out of the stuff that we're getting on here and banging on about.
They are great friends of Run to BB, and over the journey I've had the chance to dial one of a couple of marathons. They're really comfortable in their sock, their go-to workout socks. And in fact, on their website, they've actually released, I think this is very new, Generation 2
yes. socks.
They've gone a couple of different new color, a couple of changes with the colorways. Got a black ankle sock, but white, which I think they already had a white. There's the white, navy white, which you've got in Gen 2. But now you'll be very excited about this, Chriso. They have got a navy and pink crew.
Oh, look out. I might know what I'll be doing as I jump off the podcast tonight. I might be reaching for the wallet and investing in some of the blue and pink ones.
Very nice looking sock. I might have to get on board that one myself as well. It's oatrunning.com.au is where you can find them. But we're big fans over here at Run to PB and the Better with Running podcast. And you'll be testing these over the weekend, I assume, Chriso.
Absolutely. No, they'll either be worn tomorrow morning or Saturday. That is for sure. And I do want to say that they also come in a very fancy little box.
Yes,
packages. Little cardboard box, and also like a delicates bag as well. Mm. So for those of you who like to take a bit of extra care when washing your good running socks, like myself, or your delicates, as Nora chips in the background, you know, she's listening in the lounge room. You basically get this delicates bag that comes with a sock. So that's almost worth it for the price alone. But no, it's very handy. So, because previously most of my running socks were going into a bucket and soaking for a few hours before they were wrung out at lunchtime. So, very, very excited about that.
Very exciting. Hey, another exciting bit of news, mate, and this is an exclusive. This is an exclusive. The event, we are talking about an event that's happening in September. So it's actually crept up because this race has just recently been relaunched by our friend, good friend of the show, Nigel Preston. And Nigel has worked with us. We've worked with Nigel, on the O'Keefe Challenge. Some of his amazing work he does behind the scenes and putting these events on. He's now got another event to the portfolio. It's the Puff and Billy Running Festival out in the eastern suburbs, out of the foot of the Dandenongs. I recall this race. It's been going for years, and there was a little bit of a hiatus, obviously, around COVID, and then didn't come back. And now Nigel's brought it back to life, which is over 2 days as well. So you got a kids dash on the Saturday, 9th of September, which is, you've got a 1.2 kids dash and a 5K family run. And then Sunday is the main event day is the classic 13.5K, which is where you take on Puff and Billy, the colossal steam locomotive. There's two trains going, and it goes from Belgrave to Emerald. So yeah, you get to take on the train. It's a pretty iconic race here in Melbourne or in Victoria. Our esteemed Run to BB coach, Gemma Maney, she has won the race in the past. She's going to be giving us some tips about the race, some social media around that, as we are partnering with Puff and Billy Running Festival into this lead up into this year and beyond. So Yeah, exciting, mate. And there's also, mate, they've added a 21.1K road and trail half marathon. So, yeah, it's a bit of a combo with hilly location, beautiful setting. But, yeah, just part road, part trail. So the option now to go to a half marathon, which, geez, with Melbourne, half, I believe that would be sold out. I know the marathon sold out. I think half was at 90%.
Oh, no, it's gone. It is gone. The doors are locked. It is sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're in need of a half, this one's a little bit earlier than Melbourne, but an option to jump on board that one.
No, it would be a very well-run event too. Nigel always does a fantastic job with all the events that he takes care of. And I believe the Puffing Billy run, mate, that was one of your earliest fun runs?
Yeah, I reckon it was my first fun run as a 15-year-old, I would say. Earliest memory of, going there and taking on Puffing Billy. So cool foray into fun runs. And, yeah, it's a challenging, I know, call the first 3Ks on a downhill, and then it's a nice climb, and you've got a couple of checkpoints to get to before the trains cross. Otherwise, the boom gates go down, you have to wait around. So it's pretty cool running through the hills and hear the steam train in the background, and you're just chugging along yourself, hoping to get to the next railway crossing ahead of the train. So very fun event, and you get to jump back on the train on the way back to start line.
That sounds good. Run there, train back.
There has been known to be people who have run back down. Marathoners doing
marathon training.
Yeah. That's a long cool down.
That is a long cool down. A lot of downhill too. I'd imagine the quads would not be enjoying life too much. Mm. I don't reckon, especially if you've gone pretty hard.
Yeah. But it's certainly... So, stay tuned for that. There'll be some more socials and some more communications about that as the event builds. And, that's definitely one to put in the calendar.
Looking forward to hearing more about that as it gets a bit closer.
Well, mate, we better wrap it up. Been a big show. We've got race week next week for you.
Yeah, race week back down to Ballarat. So that'll be good fun. And, we'll see how that takes shape. And back into a session to talk for next week for yourself, mate?
Yeah, I'll be out on the weekend just to get rolling, knocked out a run tonight. So the body's feeling good, and onwards and upwards for me for racking the K's up and getting the sessions done. Need to get fit enough to get in those rainbow shoes, mate.
Want to see the rainbow shoes, and when they're ready, I will be sending a pair of rainbow socks your way. I reckon that they're going to look absolutely magnificent. We just have to... If we can have a chat to Tom and see if Mizuno have got some rainbow kit coming out, that would just finish it off. But
Given me there was a very nice blue, hard to describe it as a really nice sort of blue and silver singlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I also scored a one of the sort of zebra style, but it was pink and black option. From when the previous release. So I've got some nice Mizuno singlets, so definitely be sporting them come summer.
So you're going to be spoiled for choice when you're ready to race.
When I get out of the long tights.
No, well, we know that it's November onwards, but when you're ready to race, you're going to have quite the selection there.
Yeah, there's an incentive to get fit. All right, mate. You rest up. We'll chat next week.
Chat soon. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.